Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy Connecting the Light. My guest today is Dr. Linda Backman. She's a licensed psychologist, trainer, regression therapist, and the author of at least two books. And we will be mainly discussing her latest book, Bringing Your Soul to Light, Healing Through Past Lives and the Time Between. So I'm sure that's going to prove extremely interesting. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's good to be here.
Well, you've got a very interesting sort of life story, and I say that in the sense that I read you've been married 41 years, you have two married children, three grandchildren, and I love the addition of three cats.
They're great cats.
Yes, well, I love cats more than dogs. I don't dislike dogs, but my wife and I used to have three cats, but when the last one died, we haven't had any more. But there you are. We've given them a good time, I think. Now, where I would like to start, Linda, and I must mention here that you do work with your husband, Earl. How did you progress from helping people understand death, then to understanding the significance of their past lives? I mean, from a personal point of view, what made you take that sort of leap into another area?
Well, it's probably like so many people's openings into being aware that there is an unseen realm and more going on than just this life, this body. In the early 90s, Mike, I was working as a general psychologist, and my psychologist colleague was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He was diagnosed with a type of lung cancer. And about 17 months later, back then I would have said he died, and of course now I say he transitioned or he passed on. And within 24 to 48 hours of his passing, I began to be aware of his presence. I felt a sense of his communication with me, and I started having spontaneous memories of past lives with him. Well, part of me thought, maybe I'm going crazy, but then another part of me thought, no, I really don't think I am. I think this is amazingly fascinating, and I have to understand how this works. So just, you know, it's like some people have a near-death experience, and that creates a huge shift in their life. For me, it was these experiences following the death of my colleague that just began to show me other avenues of my work, and I simply wanted to understand, so what happens when we die? Where does the soul go?
Yes. So what did you feel the main purpose was in your getting into that side and helping people through hypnotic regression? What were you trying to achieve for them by doing that?
Well, I think, Mike, and if I made it very simple, I'd say to assist people to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's the classic thing we hear said over and over again, that we are a soul having a human experience. We are not a human having a soul experience. And that we come into body for the purpose of soul development, for the purpose of our own individual soul development, but for the greater impact on the universe, because I believe our soul progress is not just for us, it's for the, you might say, the greater humanity or the greater universe.
Yes. So I'm guessing from that you have a belief in a collective consciousness.
Absolutely.
Right. One never knows how far you've gone or how deeply into this subject, but I think you and I are very much on the same level of understanding, which is why I know that we're going to have a very good chat here. Now, explain how you feel reincarnation relates to soul relationships, or what does it tell you about them?
Well, we reincarnate for a whole variety of purposes, and in simple terms, we reincarnate for ongoing soul development. The lives that we've had can have such a wide variety of purposes. It might be to improve a relationship that we have. It might be sometimes we incarnate more to assist someone else or more to assist another soul, you know, and less to assist our own development. That kind of life contract tends to only happen once we are a soul of what I might call more than average capability.
Yes.
But we come in to learn from one another and assist one another. We incarnate in groups. It's not just for us as an individual.
I totally agree with you there. Would you say the same groups of people keep coming together, but perhaps in different relationships, one time a man, another time a woman, and so forth?
I mean, absolutely. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, having guided, you know, many, many regressions and having had contact with other colleagues guiding unprompted regressions, we incarnate with, we begin with a fairly small group of souls with whom we incarnate repetitively. And that's not to say that we don't at times incarnate with someone who's not in our, you know, quote-unquote soul group. But we tend to work with, if you will, the same souls pushing each other's soul development. You know, we might develop a life plan that says, okay, I'm going to incarnate with these two particular souls, and I've been with those souls lifetime to lifetime. But this time we're not going to have what looks like a, you know, a squeaky clean or a picture-perfect relationship. They're going to push my buttons, I'm going to push their buttons, and that's all for the purpose of progression.
Yes, yes. Do you think that because people come together quite often, that when a new family is formed and grows up, that it's often the reason why they feel so close together? There's a natural sort of immediate bond between the family, and a very strong one.
Absolutely, and I think that at times we meet people, Mike, and we just have this sense of, you know I just met you 2 days ago, but I feel like I've known you forever, and
yeah,
perhaps we have known them forever. And of course, to go back to the comment you made a couple of minutes ago, I would say we have all been both genders, even if we tend to incarnate most often as a man or most often as a woman. We've almost always had an experience being opposite gender.
Yes, yes. I find this understanding helps to solve what to some people are rather odd things. For example, one that amuses me in a way is people that cross stress, and when I read about men that in private like to put on women's clothes and they feel very, if you like, at home in them and they feel good, I can't help thinking to myself that you've probably come from an incarnation, just come from one as a woman, and you've still got that liking there and you still want to express it. I can't think of any other reason for it.
I think that's probably very likely, and unfortunately we live in a society that is, I would say, quite judgmental, and we slap labels on the foreheads of people where perhaps those labels don't fit at all, and perhaps the judgment that we make is completely inappropriate.
Yes. Well, it's clearly often a lack of understanding of the true facts of life. Now, your understanding has led you onto the awareness of the path of soul development and greater wisdom. But what do you class as the greater wisdom?
Well, you know, it often sounds rather simplistic, but if I think of greater wisdom and I just boil it down, greater wisdom is about very, I'm going to say, simple things, simple to state, not necessarily simple to achieve, simple things like humility, like love that is an acceptance of one another, operating not from ego, but from our core self. Those, to me, are parts of the wisdom of the universe, but it can take many, many, many lifetimes to reach the point where, more often than not, we're operating in that manner.
Yes. Now, you mentioned the ego there. How do we accommodate the ego when we're really trying to become our true selves? Because most of the time, people are ruled by their ego and they don't realize it's something that they have built up, which is perhaps in some ways an obstruction to their spiritual progress. But what are your thoughts about that?
Well, a couple of things. One, you know, coming from a psychology background, we often use the term ego strength. So I totally believe that we need a certain amount of what we might call ego strength or sense of self in order to stand within ourselves and have a sense of belief in ourself and what we do. But if we look at ego as our human personality and not our soul nature, there are times when we develop a plan for a lifetime before coming into incarnation, and we decide to have a particular human personality that we're going to have to clean up, that we're going to have to sort of use as a catalyst to move further into being operating from our soul nature, as opposed to operating from the human personality that you might say exists in the gray matter that sits inside of our skull.
I think sometimes people, without knowing, I guess, use their ego to excuse themselves doing things. And it's quite often you hear people say, well, I can't help that. That's just me. But, of course, you can help it.
Absolutely. I think that's, I guess I have to say, I think that's a cop-out. I think that...
Yes.
But again, I also think it depends on where we are in our soul development. And if we're early on in our soul development, then I believe it's more difficult to step further away from our ego self. And the more we gain greater soul development, that's the purpose of gaining more advanced soul development, then it's easier and we're not struggling against our ego self as much.
Right. Now, I think reincarnation is an extremely interesting subject, and it is a shame that most of the religions don't teach it, because it explains so much. Now, because you teach it, what are the most asked questions you get, if you can remember, and how do you answer them?
Well, first of all, I'll just comment that it's true that the bulk of Western religions don't teach reincarnation, and yet what the average person doesn't know unless they study the development of Western religion is that if we go back to the early Hebrews, there were a group of Hebrews who absolutely believed in reincarnation, and in the early Christians also believed in reincarnation, and it was in about 300 to 400 A.D. that suddenly there was almost like this, I often think in pictures, it was like this white out marker that all of the information about reincarnation was sort of struck from the teachings and struck from the liturgy. Mm. But it was taught early on. Just so many people don't realize that. And to answer your other question, the most common question that clients come in wanting to know, Mike, is what is my life purpose? What
right.
What's the point? Why did I come into body this time?
And what do you say to that?
Well, what I say to that, because that's almost always, if it's a client, as opposed to I'm giving a lecture or a workshop, if it's a client, they've come in for a regression, and I do both past life regression and between lives regression, where we work at the soul level of the client. So when we do a between lives regression, we are almost always allowed to ask questions to the guides and teachers that work with that client at a soul level. And
right.
So we simply ask that question, and we don't always get a definitive answer, but more often than not, the client gains some level of understanding of what am I doing here now? What did I come to learn? And I'll just add that, I mean, I have to avoid not chuckling at times, because sometimes clients will come in and they'll say, now, I know I need to expand my CPA practice, or I know I need to, you know, do more of this type of work. I need to ask, is this my life purpose? And sometimes certainly our life purpose might be teaching something or writing books, or there's all kinds of life purposes. And also, there are many times when the guides and teachers of the client says, your life purpose was to bring children into the world, or your life purpose is to provide happiness, you know, to others in your family. It isn't always, how much money should I make? What kind of job should I have? You know, should I move across the country?
I can understand that. They haven't really moved from the material way of thinking to the spiritual way, I guess.
Exactly.
Now, your book is, in some parts, or the knowledge that you've used in the book, is based on thousands of accounts you must have heard about previous lives and so forth. I just wondered, have you come across any that have made a particularly strong impact on you because of the nature of them? And would you care to tell us about one or two?
Sure. Obviously, there are many. One that comes to my mind when you ask that question is a woman, a middle-aged, highly educated woman who comes in, and she tells me that she's been depressed off and on all her adult life. She's had thoughts of suicide many, many times, and she adds into that that her father took his own life, her father in her current life. Her father took his own life when she was 12 years old. She's a very capable woman, seems very grounded. So we go into the regression, and the regression first takes us, this is doing a between lives regression, first we go to a past life. The guides and teachers of the client select the past life that the client's going to look at. The guides take her to a past life where she ends that particular past life by taking her own life. Then she experiences, as is the case with the between lives regression, then she experiences her soul exiting from that body when the past life is complete. Her soul travels into the spiritual realm, and she's able to learn many things about herself as a soul. She works with her guides and teachers during the session. And essentially, her primary guides tell her that her father in her current life had agreed, had sort of made a contractual agreement to, if, and I'm sure some listeners might say this just kind of is a little hard to absorb, but this is in fact a true example of a regression. The father agreed to suicide so that she would experience what it feels like to be a family member where you lose a parent through suicide. A very profound example.
One can see the spiritual objective there. Obviously, one thinks of you reap as you sow, in a manner of speaking.
But I agree. And I think as long as people, Mike, don't think, if they think of the notion of you reap as you sow, that, you know, sometimes people think that karma is this exact one-to-one connection where if I harmed you by stabbing you with a sword in one life, you will stab me with a sword in another life. It's not quite that black and white.
No.
Similar, but not so black and white.
Right. Now, as you're talking about suicide, in the course of your talks with guides, what do they say about people that commit suicide in general terms? Because there is, I suppose, largely because of religious beliefs, the feeling that such souls sort of go into purgatory or something like that for what they've done.
Yes, that's an interesting question. Early on in guiding between lives regression work, I remember having a client who visited a past life where the past life ended in suicide, and very quickly after the client's soul left that life and traveled onward into the spiritual realm, a guide, sort of a specialized guide, came forward who, in a not a painfully punitive way, but certainly a very directive way, talked with the client about it wasn't preferred that we suicide. This client was given many different ways of learning how not to have this happen. So then, in some subsequent regressions, I can remember other clients, they access a past life where it ends in suicide. Their soul leaves their body at the ending of the past life. And to be honest, I'm waiting. So where is the specialized guide that, you know, teaches about suicide and not suicide? And in other cases, I've said, so is there a guide, you know, trying to be very open-ended, is there a guide that wants to talk with you about how your life ended? And the response I've heard is, no, it isn't necessary, because this client has already worked on this issue. It's resolved. They don't need any further teaching about it.
Right. That's interesting. I have to think that surely most people who commit suicide are in some ways extremely sick or ill or mentally disturbed, or as in wartime, they would commit suicide to avoid being captured and tortured. So I would imagine that in the main there must be quite a lot of compassion for people who reach that point in their life.
Absolutely, and I think compassion to the point that at times it is just fully understandable that is the end result. And, you know, there isn't always judgment about it. I think that's a very important piece of information for people to know, especially if you have a family member, a loved one, who has ended their life through suicide, to know that there are a whole variety of ways of resolving that issue, and we are certainly not doomed for the remainder of our soul's journey.
Yes, indeed. That removes, I would think, a very big worry. Now, you talk of the higher vibration of positive universal energy. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think what you're referring to, Michael, is that the goal for us as souls is to develop and to reach a higher level of vibration or a higher level of wisdom. As our soul progresses, we move into, you might say, you know, we're using human language to describe something that obviously isn't human, but we gain wisdom, we reach higher levels of soul development, we take on different responsibilities as we reach those higher levels of soul development or a more positive or higher level of vibration.
Right. That sounds pretty good to me. So by comparison, what is the lower vibration? Very low, I mean.
I think that, you know, again, with human minds, you know, we think good, bad, right, wrong, black,
yes,
white. Lower vibration for me just means less, a lower level or a lesser level of soul development, and we're all automatically inclined to keep seeking higher development. And of course, we also could say lower vibration also, we could say, is this realm, this place where we live on this planet, which is also a much lower vibratory, more dense place where we live. This is the laboratory of soul development down here on Earth. The laboratory of soul development is not in the spiritual realm.
Have you heard of the astral realms?
Oh, yes.
So do you, as some people, believe that there are ones which have an extremely low vibration where there is a comparative lack of light, and this tends to draw the people of a similar vibration when they pass over. Have you encountered that in your regressions?
Yes, to some extent. But what's interesting is people ask this question a lot when I'm giving a talk. You know, they'll say, what about dark energy, you know, which I think is what you're equating with lower vibration. What
yes.
seems to happen for most clients who are having a between lives regression is that when they complete the past life and they come to that, what we lovingly call the death scene, if you will,
yes.
when their soul exits out of their body and travels into the spiritual realm, what seems to occur is they move from third dimension through fourth dimension into fifth dimension and beyond. So that my answer to people is that they're not, I guess you might say they're not waylaid in those lower vibratory levels. I do think there are places where there is, we might say, less light.
Yes. Right. Now, I'd like to just refer to your hypnotic regression. You're describing what people experience. Do they always remember the regression period? Do they remember what they've said or what they've been told and so forth?
Yes, they do remember it. So they're in a level of altered state, which almost anyone can access, because that's always the worry that people say, can I go into trance? There are a lot of old wives' tales about hypnosis that are not true. You don't get stuck in a trance. You don't do crazy things in a trance. No one can take you over in a trance. So that they do remember most of the details. And when I teach regression, I feel like it is essential that the regression therapist record the session for the client. So I fully record the session. The client then has a complete recording of what happened. They can go back and listen to it time and time again if they choose.
That's very useful. I guess that type of experience, particularly the first one, must for many people be quite life-changing.
It can absolutely be life-changing. It really depends on where they are in their development. Certainly for some people, it is completely, you might say, solidifies their belief that there is something that comes after, that this life, this body is not all there is. There are some clients who, when they leave the ending of the past life and travel onward into the spiritual realm, they are met by loved ones. They're often met by loved ones who have crossed over, so sometimes a grief process is enhanced and facilitated through that experience. But the information that they receive might be life-changing. And then there are also some clients that I work with who will come in. I have clues about what may happen in their regression when I begin the interview. Some clients will come in and they'll say, you know, I just have never felt like I fit here on this planet in this body. I have always yearned to go where I truly belong. They're referring to the spiritual realm. They may say, I don't feel like there are many people who truly understand me or comprehend how I see the world. So for those clients, spending some time in the regression in the spiritual realm where they feel they truly belong, remembering where they come from, deeply assists them to continue on in their current life.
Right. Now that leads me to an interesting question here. Have you ever regressed someone who's come from another planet to the Earth?
Absolutely. The answer is yes. Far more than one time.
Right. Have they come from another planet for a special purpose, since I will assume that that perhaps isn't the norm, it's more unusual?
Yes, I think there are two answers to that question. Yes, they have perhaps come from another planet, from another solar system, here for a purpose. It also has been, I've received many, many examples from clients where what seems to be true is that extensive soul development seems to happen on other planets and in other dimensions. That those are, if you will, more progressed locations where we as a soul gain a great deal of wisdom and soul awareness before we come here.
Right. I mean, do you actually get to learn which particular planet they're talking about?
It's interesting. Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. And sometimes the name, you know, there might be a statement that it's the Pleiades or it's Sirius. Right. There also might be a name of where the soul of the client comes from that isn't familiar to me.
Right.
And then at other times there isn't a name at all. But we often learn a lot about those other planets, other solar systems and dimensions, how they communicate, how they nourish their bodies, how they spend their time, perhaps how they procreate. I have to say it's incredibly fascinating work.
Right. I bet it is, yes. Just as a sort of sidetrack here slightly, are you aware that David Wilcox has been informed that by the end of the year, President Obama is likely to announce the existence of space people?
Yes, you know, like you, I'm sure I receive many, many spiritual emails, and that came across my email just this week.
Right.
That's rather exciting, I would say.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
It's not, I think, in general terms, that people aren't aware of it, although they may not take any particular interest, because the whole issue of space people and their craft, after all, has been with us for a long, long time.
Exactly. You know, where did we get Star Trek?
Well, yes, it's clearly meant to be something to put pictures in people's minds and to prepare them ready, I think, for the real thing.
I think that is totally, totally true. And, you know, you and I are having this conversation, and, of course, you know, if I walked into the local Safeway and started talking about these things, there would probably be some people that would resonate and other people that would think I'd certainly lost my mind. But quite often,
yeah,
I come across clients who either we learn about their past life on another planet, or when they finish looking at a past life that perhaps happened on Earth, then when we travel into the spiritual realm, they often travel, you know, home, in quotes, to where they come from.
Right. So some people are in touch with their home, which is possibly outside of this solar system. So the whole concept of being linked to space people, of them being real part of our family, is not at all surprising, is it?
It's not surprising at all. And, you know, I have these funny things that I, when the client comes in my head, I'm starting to kind of build a list of assumptions about how the session will go, and then sometimes they're true and sometimes they're not. I can, at times, even by looking at the facial structure and the body type of the client, begin to get a sense of, has this client been incarnating on Earth for a long, long time, or is this client, relatively speaking, new to Earth incarnation, sometimes based on how they look physically? It's almost as if, and you know, I've not done any statistical research with this, but it's almost as if we've just come here recently, we are still carrying, I believe there's such a thing as spiritual DNA, we're still carrying the body type and the perhaps the facial structure of where we come from that isn't an earthly body.
Yes. Well, I mean, in our history, allegedly, different space beings over thousands and thousands of years have added their genetic material to ours, and apparently we are some sort of conglomeration of different types of space people.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. Mm. That makes total sense.
Right. Now, it seems obviously useful for people who have this big question mark over themselves, who am I, why am I here, etc., to experience what you do, that is your hypnotic regression. But do you feel that without some help like that, people can truly realize what they are and what the purpose of life is?
Yes, I think some people can. I think for any of us who have some kind of a fairly regular form of spiritual practice, some means of accessing our intuitive capabilities, connecting outside of just this human realm and connecting more with our guides and teachers, oftentimes those are people who can gain a sense of what is their life purpose. And then I think the other way, and this is kind of interrelated, I believe that everything that happens in our life has purpose and serves. And so if we trust what comes to us, what occurs for us, what's happening moment by moment as it's directing us, guiding us, supporting us, that's another way to discover who am I and what did I come here to do this life.
I'm thinking again of you regressing people. I don't suppose it would really be in a soul's interest to go back to a life where they were, for the want of a better single word, evil. But does that ever crop up as a matter of interest?
Well, I would, most of the time, no, in the sense that I don't tend to have clients who have lives where they've been a mass murderer or something like that. I certainly have clients, like, for example, I've had far more than one client who was a Nazi officer during World War II. We then can work with the client's guides to learn what was the purpose. For what reason did that soul agree to take on that role? And we will oftentimes, more often than not, learn what was that soul to learn by, you know, carrying that role, that responsibility.
Right.
And maybe just to tack on one other comment, Mike, tied to that. I believe, and this is all based on regression, we always have free will. We are never locked into a life contract where a free will is taken away from us. So I do believe that frequently behavior we might label as heinous or criminal or completely inappropriate has something to do with free will.
Right. I was going to ask you about free will, because that's obviously a big factor in everybody's life. What sort of responsibility do we have in operating our free will?
Well, I think, you know, that's a really excellent and a very deep question. My sense is the responsibility is that, you know, we have free will. We can choose to do whatever we choose to do. But I would say, with a capital B and a capital U and a capital T, our guides will work with us. And while they're always benevolent, that's not to say that they won't assist us to alter something if we've behaved in a manner that they feel is not the most useful, you might say, during a life. They're going to encourage us to do some learning and to do some work on that and to progress further by behaving differently in the future.
Yes. Yes, I certainly agree with that. Now, you said in your book, we are pure love. So I want to ask you, Why is it we can't live up to it?
Boy, great. You're asking incredibly good questions, and not, you know, certainly not very, not simple surface level questions.
Right.
Yeah, that's excellent. You know, here we are in these human bodies. Our soul is obviously pure divine energy, yet our soul is also in the process of development. And I don't believe that there's an ultimate point where we get an A+ in soul development. I believe that soul development, I like to use the words being and becoming, that our soul is always being and becoming, and the universe is, you know, is always being and becoming. But we are here in body with a human personality, and again, this is the laboratory. This is not, you know, this is a great density here. This is not the spiritual realm by any means. So we're challenged constantly to operate from the, you might say, the highest level of purity. And that is, I think it's meant to be a challenge. And the more we reach it, you know, I like to use the words to be of service. As our soul is reaching higher levels of soul development, our overriding purpose is to be of service. And so we have to keep stepping beyond our human self and beyond our human ego, what, you know, some schools of thought would call the middle path. Staying out of judgment, and more in discernment than judgment. But that's tricky, you know. We're still human when we're down here on this planet.
Hmm. Well, I guess if we could maintain a level of pure love, we wouldn't need to come here anyway.
That's true. That's true. That's what we're working toward.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Now, this place that we're working towards, I'm assuming here, is referred to by you when you talk of our soul comes from and remains in a place where time and space do not exist. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, again, that's a tricky, what we might say, juxtaposition that a lot of people have trouble understanding. So we live here on this planet in a day-by-day chronological time frame, although researchers are telling us that time is literally speeding up. And though I can't explain that because I'm not a physicist, I do believe that's true. Our soul resides outside of time and space. And, of course, even when we're in body, our higher self, our soul self, is also in spirit. So that in the spiritual realm, there is no time. In the spiritual realm, all is happening at once. But the minds that we have in these human bodies have a very hard time comprehending no time, lack of time. So I think the bottom line is just to say both are true. Both
yes.
are real.
I think the expression that sums it up for me is that everything is in the now.
Yes. Well, and that's what happens. Sometimes people will say to me when they consider having a between lives regression, they'll say, well, which between life am I going to? Is it between my current life and the most recent, or is it three lives back?
Mm.
And what I say to them is, when you finish looking at whatever past life your guides choose for you to examine, then you travel into the time between lives, and then you are traveling into now time, where all time falls away.
Yes, yes. Now, you conveniently brought me to another question here.
Okay.
In your book, you talk about Nan, which is a representative case of one of your regressions. And in it, she talks about hearing the I am, which she says is my guide. Now, the question I want to ask you, you mentioned the higher self. Is that our I am?
Good question. When I think about the I am, I think that we're moving toward talking more about the ultimate level of the divine, whether we call that God or Great Spirit or the Source or the Tao or whatever we call it. Our higher self, as I understand it from regressions, that's our soul that remains in spirit, whether we're incarnate or we're not incarnate. So that basically what happens when we incarnate is we bring a holographic percentage of our soul material into our body. That's what enervates our body and causes us to be alive. But the remainder of our soul material, the remainder of that holographic soul material, is in spirit. That's what I think of as the higher self.
Mm, great, yes. Now, I'd like to come back to this particular case of Nan again, because she mentions hearing music, and I assume this is meant to apply when you're regressing her. Now, is that unusual to hear music when you're in these other levels?
It really doesn't happen. I'd say 50% of the time with 50% of the clients that I work with. Yet it happens often enough that it's not like it's not a rare case.
Hmm.
And what it reminds me of, and actually some clients have commented about this, I think about things like Gregorian chant. And some clients will describe it as sounding that way. So that I think some of the cultures of our world, perhaps in times past, when they were developing use of sound, use of chant, this sound was a memory, was an awareness of the sound of spirit.
Hmm. What made me think of that is reading some spiritual messages or teachings. They do occasionally refer to what they call the music of the spheres.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
I was going to say that may be something that is there at a certain vibrational level that could be a result of the energy and not a purpose. Not a purposeful music for any other reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm chewing my fat a bit over that one, what it means. But it does, you're right, it does crop up more often than not. So it isn't unusual. Now, another thing I like, again, I get this information from Nan's report, which is in your book, that at the time of near death, when she's dying, I don't know if she was aware of it, but you have noted the presence of loved ones around her. And I'm wondering if that is, more often than not, what happens just before someone passes over.
What I think is the case, Mike, is that if the guides and teachers of the client believe that or know that the soul of the client is going to need that level of support, that level of awareness of the loving energy of those special ones, then it will in fact happen.
Mm.
And when it doesn't happen, it's just simply my assumption that it isn't essential for that particular soul or that particular client.
Right, yes. Now, when people finally arrive, shall we say, on the other side, you mentioned that they may meet their guides. Where do the guides come from? Are they special spiritual beings?
Well, again, great question. The guides are souls, perhaps just like you and I and many of your listeners. One of the purposes of gaining soul development is that many of us reach the point where we are sufficiently developed, you might say, as a soul to be able to serve as a spiritual guide. And at times, I mean, obviously I've heard so many different examples and explanations and stories. I have had more than one client who, when the client is in the spiritual realm, it will be said that the guide that comes forward to assist during the regression, that the guide and the soul of the client have been together for a very long time. When the client's soul, when the client is incarnate, the other soul serves as the spirit guide, and then it happens in the reverse. Then there are times when that guide may then take on incarnation, and the client will be disincarnate and will be the guide, you know, sort of the flip, if you will.
Right. Now, you also talk of wise elders coming into the picture here, and I get the impression that they are more concerned with a person's spiritual progress. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. That is their purpose. Their purpose is to support us, love us, but direct us toward higher levels of development.
Right. I mean, it is a name that often crops up in books from spiritual channelings. The elders seem to be often part of the stories that come through. Is it a fact that when people arrive on the other side, if they've gone over with or having had physical disabilities of any kind, that once they believe that they no longer need to carry that with them, that they go back to an original, as you might say, perfect form?
Yes, the physical disability is purely attached to the human body, and almost always the physical disability is something that was, you might say, chosen to serve a purpose of learning and soul development. And yes, that physical disability is gone. That disability belonged to the body and not to the soul.
Right. That's great. I have a few more questions left, but I'm keen that you have an opportunity to tell people where to buy your book and give them your website number, which may be one and the same. So would you like to take a couple of minutes just giving out that information?
Sure, that's easy. I mean, I know that people are finding my book in local bookstores, so that's an option. But if people go to bringingyoursoultolight.com, there they can order the book, find out about other things that I'm doing. I'm teaching workshops for anyone and everyone who's interested. I do train people also to do the work that I do. So it's just bringingyoursoultolight.com.
Right. And I believe you're open to people emailing you. If so, can you give your email address?
Sure. I'm totally open to people emailing, and the easiest email address would be my first name, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ravenheartcenter.com. It's all run together, Raven, R-A-V-E-N, Heart, H-E-A-R-T, Center, C-E-N-T-E-R.com.
That's great. I notice on your website you appear to have other websites. Would they be of interest to my listeners?
Well, my original website that talks about the work that I do is www.ravenheartcenter.com, and the bringingyoursoultolight.com focuses on the book more, but also ties in with the other website. So,
right.
Yeah, either one, probably both would be useful to people, giving some similar and some different information.
Right. Now, I'm getting down to the last 2 minutes, and I need the last one to announce next week's guest. But tell me quickly, and I believe this to be the case, is it true that anyone could learn to do hypnotic regression? Because you teach that, do you not?
Yes, I teach it, and people just... Yes, anyone can learn. You don't have to be a psychologist like I am. And so if anyone's interested in learning to do this work, I teach both face-to-face courses, on-site courses, and I teach home study programs. So if people just go to either of those websites or contact me through my email address, that's the way they could gain more information.
That's great, yes. Do you have a message for our listeners, and any sort of potent spiritual message for them?
Well, you know, I would say what comes to my mind very quickly is that believe that each and every day you have a golden opportunity to progress further on your soul's journey, and if you just allow yourself to follow where you're guided, trust that we're all intuitive beings, we will know who we're to be, where we're to be, and what is important in life.
That's wonderful. Well, you brought me to the end of the interview, and it's gone extremely quick, which it usually does when it flows along so nicely. Yeah, you're extremely aware spiritually, without a shadow of a doubt, and I'm sure your book, for that reason, will do very well. So thank you very much, Dr. Linda, for coming onto the program.
And thank you, Mike, for having me.
You're very welcome. Right, my friends, that was a terrifically interesting interview. Next week, I have the return of Carla Rookert-McCarty. She was excellent on our last program. And she is a mystic and author. And with Don Elkins, she investigated the UFO phenomenon. As a result of that, in the course of time, she channeled from the space people. And the result of that was a book called Living the Law of One, 101, The Choice. She spoke about it before. We will speak about it again. So that, too, I think will be extremely interesting. Thank you for being with me today. I do hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.